Hello, everybody. Boy, we live in uncertain times, don't we? I'll tell you. When was the last time that I went and had a big old donut here at the station? I don't care. It tasted wonderful about 10 minutes ago. Big, fat donut with maple icing on it. And my sidekick here, John Couch, engineering and producing. John doesn't eat that kind of stuff. Either do I, usually. If I do, it's like a real little slice, you know, especially before the show, because it gets you pretty much all sugared up. But anyway, it is Buckmaster on Friday, March the 20th. First day of spring. That is good news, isn't it? We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We're here each weekday, Monday through Friday on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. You can follow us on my website, buckmastershow.com. All of our podcasts also have a very faithful following. On Facebook, just go to Bill Buckmaster. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. We'll hear from the editor, publisher, founder, Dylan Smith, later in the program. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, big supporters of the program. Dan Shear, we'll hear from him in a moment. Tucson Local Media Group, thanks, folks over there. Their portfolio of publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, that's Jim Ninsel and his gang, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. These are all great media partners of our program. On the live line, State Senator David Bradley. Mr. Bradley, a Democrat from Tucson, is the Senate Minority Leader. It's very serendipitous to have him on the program after a crazy week up at the state legislature. Senator Bradley, how are you?
Good.
Staying well?
Yeah, as far as I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you wearing a mask?
Yeah. Not right now.
Okay. All right. Hang with us. I want to introduce Dan Shear. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. He's the editorial director for WIC Newspaper Group, which has a couple dozen publications out west here, many of them small papers. And Dan's had probably as bad a week, or busy a week, let's put it that way, as all of us have. I was reflecting, Dave Bradley and Dan Shear. I've been in the business 52 years, and I don't think I've ever had a week like this one. And this goes back even to 9/11, the Cuban Missile Crisis. I guess the polio epidemic when I was a little kid, maybe in the 50s when we all stood in line to get a shot. I think sugar. The second.
Or sugar.
Do you remember that, Dave?
Yeah, we got the sugar cube.
Yeah. But Dave, I think the first was the shot, then the next thing was we got like the sugar cube for the next round of it or anything. But why don't we begin there, Senator Bradley? In your lifetime, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I think it's the unknown and the so many variables that keep hitting us almost every day. There's new ones. And when we look at this situation, I've not experienced anything like it in my lifetime.
Efforts to quickly enact a nearly $12 billion, I guess you call it a baseline contingency state budget, Dave Bradley, for the coming fiscal year, hit a snag. I understand that you, being the Democratic minority leader in the Senate and the Senate president, the Republican Karen Fan, tried and did hammer out, I believe yesterday, right? Some kind of an agreement, and then it was sent over to the House Speaker, Rusty Bowers, and it couldn't get anywhere. What's the hang-up, please?
Yeah, as folks may not know, a budget is actually about 8 or 9 bills. That's not just one bill that we use to enact a budget, because it's broken out by topics of health care and education, et cetera. Five of those bills that we passed, I think it's five, the House also passed. So what we have is a problem with 3 to 4 bills that the House didn't attend to. They didn't vote them down. They just didn't put them up. And so they recessed last night before doing that, and decided not to come back today, but to wait until Monday, which was a surprise to many folks that why they didn't try to get it done today and then hopefully be done and then go on a long indefinite recess.
Dan Scheer, jump in, my friend.
Why didn't they take up these bills and just get it done? It's because they've got a huge disagreement over what should be in there. Is that right?
Yeah, we in the Senate negotiated, Senator Fan and myself and our caucuses collectively, was to create to add to the Crisis Contingency and Safety Net Fund. And we put another $50 million into that fund. And my understanding is that many of the House Republicans felt that that was either pork or wasn't justified or whatever. We had previously given the governor about $55 million total. I was of the opinion of actually giving a heck of a lot more than that, but that didn't fly. But at least we got more money, and the focus was on rental and foreclosure assistance, homeless services, shelters, small business nonprofit assistance, including medical providers, and then monies for the food banks. Part of the unknown is that the federal laws were just passed, and so we were trying to the extent that one can, process those, and those bills are often 1,000 pages plus, and so just processing that and making and trying to get our the notion was that we wanted to, of course, use that federal money first, and then this money was not to supplant federal money, but to augment it if necessary, or to cover areas that the federal legislation did not cover, and so that was our intent, to give the governor that kind of flexibility, which makes perfect sense to me. The governor's center stage on this, and he knows that he has to, do the best for the citizens of Arizona, and I believe that was the best course of action. Instead of proscribing specific things, like X amount was to go to this issue and Y amount to that issue, our druthers and our agreement was that we would put it together, make recommendations to the governor about what areas we thought were of high concern, have him report back to us when he uses the money, but not have to wait for us to go convene, authorize the money, and then go spend it. So,
Now we have a four day delay because, in essence, the House couldn't agree on a number.
Right.
It's really that more than it is policies.
Yeah, for the most part, the most of all the bills that we dealt with yesterday was the unemployment bill that I'm really. Upset really that the House didn't take it up because it was outside the budget actually, but it could have been effective today, for those people that have already lost their positions or have had their hours significantly reduced. It allowed to waive the week right now. If you can become unemployed through no fault of your own, you have to wait a week. That week was taken away. We also held the employers harmless, in terms of the rating up their rate so that they would not have to worry about paying more for the unemployment insurance that they have for their employees, and that an employee could actually work at least, like especially in the restaurant business, where they could actually work a day, and as long as they were available but can't come in because of the virus, they were eligible for full unemployment as well. And I'm hoping that if they don't do anything else on Monday, at least they pass that bill. Because it was an emergency measure and it would have been effective today.
This is a time to stop all the partisanship. You
right,
can't
exactly.
throw, you cannot throw enough money at this. That right. I don't care if they were up all night last night. The House should have done the responsible thing and done what you were just saying, Senator Bradley, mm-hmm. and make that immediate. We are looking mm-hmm. at unemployment in this state like we have not seen in our lifetimes.
Right.
How do you dismiss recess for the weekend? How in good conscience, Dan Scheer, can they do that?
You know, they did deal with some things, so let's give them credit for a little bit of that, and I wanted to talk to the senator about the education stuff. But you're right, Bill. In the news industry, we're seeing that this is changing every hour or two. There is something coming down the pike, and now to put a big hit the pause button for several days is unconscionable. It's a good word, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why don't we pause right here? Dave Bradley, stick around. Dan Shear, stick around. I do have some good news about one of our great sponsors, Mona's Danish Bakery up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Here's the update from Mona's. Basically, it's business as usual, except for the fact that you cannot sit in the bakery to consume your wonderful bakery goods. But there have been lots of folks I've seen on Facebook that are reporting, oh my goodness, my supermarket is out of bread. Well, Mona's has plenty of bread, great bread that they baked just today, and it's available right now. So you can still walk into Mona's. You can get all of your bakery goods, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can order from the grill. You could call ahead to Mona's Danish Bakery, say you want your breakfast or your lunch. They'll have it ready for you when you come in. So the only thing that really has changed is that you cannot consume your bakery goods at Mona's in the building itself. But they're open for business. Plenty of breads, great variety of breads, and they're all available for you. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Their phone number, 579-1959. And I'm happy to report, my wife was up there this morning, Dan, and I know you love Mona's Danish Bakery. They're really busy, which is good to hear.
Excellent to hear, and I will tell you, it's a bummer to not eat in there because it smells as good as it tastes. You know what? Hey, we'll take it.
There were people. My wife told me that, you know, because Mona's home of Dave. Have you been up there, Dave Bradley? To Mona's?
No, I haven't. But you got me mouth watering.
I bet. Well, there were people. They got their bakery goods and they just left they went outside in the car, rolled down the window, and they could still smell the wonderful smells coming from Mona's. So let's support all of our local restaurants and businesses. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We have State Senator David Bradley on the live line, Democrat from Tucson, and David, a very influential member of the Arizona legislature, where he is the Democratic minority leader in the Senate. Dan Scheer is also with us on the live line. Dan, editor of the Green Valley News and Sojourita Sun. We're practicing social distancing here, at least this week and next. All of our interviews being done telephonically. David Bradley, what about the action so far from the governor activating the National Guard? It was my understanding they would be assisting grocery stores and food banks. I understand also that they could perhaps be used in building tent hospitals. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes. I mean, I don't know much more than what he's publicly stated that was in the paper. But, some of the emergency money that we allotted, again, was to, to coordinate with the federal monies that are coming. And we put $9.3 million into food banks to get food and transportation, and for them to be able to move the food in immediately, knowing that the feds were going to be sending that money as well. But we wanted to get it there as quickly as possible to activate that system or to enhance that system. And then as the federal money comes in, it replaces what the state has expended so that that money can be used for other emergencies. So, as you pointed out earlier, or as we discussed earlier, almost every hour when you step back and look at this situation, and you look at how it affects this group of people or these businesses, you end up going down this path where, okay, well, what about this? How does this affect this? And it's just, this matrix. You just keep going and going and going when you stop and think about all the implications. And again, that's what, for me, speaks to the governor having as much flexibility as possible to deal with those issues. I was not of the opinion that prescribing everything made sense to me because of how quickly this changes, and whether you need the National Guard to build tents or to deliver food or provide security or whatever, that the governor have that flexibility.
All right, Dan Scheer, join us, please.
We mentioned a little bit earlier about the emergency legislation to let students finish school at home if the schools are unable to reconvene. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that did pass both houses. I don't. It is, again, it's kind of a inside baseball thing. It seems like a silly thing, but the bills actually have to be transmitted between the House and then to the governor. So the bill, as I understand it, passed both the House. I know it passed the Senate because we did it, and the House passed it, I believe. But I'm not sure that it was transmitted to the governor for signature. So they have to wait till Monday until they can get in to officially transmit the bill. I mean, I know it sounds kind of perfunctory, but it is part of the process. So But as you suggest, it does deal with many of the issues. And education is a perfect example. You start bringing things up about how kids are going to maintain their schooling, how for those kids that are about to graduate, making sure that they're meeting their requirements so that they can move on and get their diplomas. And then you have all the staffing issues, and you have the cleanliness of the facilities and maintaining the facilities while they're closed. And setting up enough, having enough Wi-Fi access. You know, I don't know if you saw in the newspaper in Phoenix that these three kids were huddled under a blanket in the rain to try to access the Wi-Fi of their neighborhood school so they could finish their school projects. I mean, because they didn't have access to Wi-Fi from their homes. So that, you know, the kids were seen outside the school, and the principal happened to be there, and he let them in to get access so they could finish their projects. I mean, so we sometimes forget how so many things that we take for granted when we go home and turn our computer on and we're on. That's a luxury for, you know, for many people, for folks. And these particular kids just highlighted that discrepancy that we have. And that's just that's within the city of Phoenix. Now let's go out to the rural areas.
And So this legislation, does it address certain things like number of hours of instruction that have to take place or anything like that?
Yeah, correct.
Or are you leaving all that, to the district?
No, I think it's fairly prescriptive in the sense that it allows them to solve that dilemma however they can. And, you know, and again, as we go out to rural areas, and there is no internet access or minimal access, you know, whether to do it by mail. Some districts are going to do a bus drop-offs, or where they would normally go pick up kids. They're going to have all their lessons ready for them on the bus, and they'll drop it off to them on Monday, come back on Wednesday and Friday, and that kind of method of delivery of work for the kids to be able to complete their projects. And then the funding mechanisms to make sure that there's not a cutoff of their daily amounts that they get for the kids that are there has all been taken care of, so that the teachers and most of the employees hopefully will continue to be paid.
By the way, the U of A canceled today commencement. That is now gone. The commencement scheduled for May 2020. I want to bring this up, Dan and Senator Bradley, about where do we go from here? Here's what I'm saying. We've closed, Dan and Dave, we've closed basically Pima County shut down basically until we keep hearing until March 31st. It's like, what is the benchmark? What do we have? 8 confirmed cases, I believe, in Pima County. So what will the benchmark look like? How many cases would be considered I don't know. What benchmark? Yeah. You hear where I'm going with this, sure. Dave. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the science of it is flattening the curve. So, you know, your infection rate, if it's rising, then more and more restrictions will be announced, I would suspect. And they may go as far as the governors of New York and California have gone, basically to stay in your house unless you really have to leave. And until that curve flattens. And our dilemma is the lack of testing. We don't know exactly how far the virus has gone and how many people actually are infected. Because we just simply don't know. I mean, and it's possible that it's not possible, it's probable that there are many more people infected, but we just don't have an accurate way or amount or way to get that information in a timely fashion until we have testing and have it being done as rapidly as it can be possibly be done. So my understanding is that the goal is to flatten that curve, so that meaning that the number of infections per day, as you've seen in China, you know, the infections were, you know, a steep curve. They flattened it, and now it's almost down to zero in terms of infection. So I think that's the scientific answer. How that translates into time, you know, I don't know if that's April, that's May, that's June. I have no clue. I don't think anybody really knows.
Dan, what do you think about that?
Oh boy, you know, I agree with the senator. There's so much out there that we just don't know. I understand the caution, but what is that point where we say, yeah, we really have a problem? Well, if you look at the Arizona Department of Health Services website, they're still saying that our level of community spread is considered to be minimal. We have 63 cases in this state, and you're correct, 8 in Pima County, but you know what? The fact is that the numbers are wrong. We know that it's much more widespread, and you know, what steps do we need to take? I'm curious, Senator, what are you and your colleagues in the legislature hearing from constituents? What are they most concerned about right now?
You know, kind of all of the above.
yeah.
You know, I think you know, and everybody's, and that's why I think the centralization of information is so important. You know, we happen to be fortunate that our director of the Department of Health Services is by discipline an infection control physician, Dr. Crist. I mean, that's just, you know, somewhat by happenstance.
yeah.
But we're fortunate that that person has that kind of a background. And so, you know, you got, as I think Bill referred to, you just got to take the politics out of this. You know, I know some of my colleagues say, gee, we can't trust the Republican. Yeah, that's all stupid thinking, and we have to trust our elected leaders until they demonstrate that they can't be trusted, and then we do whatever we need to do to get people in there that we trust. I mean, but in the meantime, we have to, you know, provide them the tools and the resources to address the virus as things develop, and as we've talked about, there's developments every day.
So then the plan will be come back to finish this budget up and then go home for an unspecified time.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of members that don't want to come back. You know, unfortunately, we call the Senate, and it's true in the House as well. They're very old buildings. We call them petri dishes every year because so many people from all over the state come in and to see us. That inevitably, our level of illness just in a normal year with flu and colds and stuff usually. About 2 weeks after session, it hits the building, and many of us end up, you know, we keep showing up for work when we probably shouldn't. But that's always been the case there. So all of us have always said that those buildings need to be torn down and we need to build a new Capitol. But, you know, that's not happening in the near future. But with this situation, you know, with the virus, people are like even more, you know, cautious about being in the building too long. And again, you know, we're used to having literally thousands of people almost every day, with whether the students coming to visit or whatever, all that's been cut off. Nobody can come visit. Our galleries are closed. So we are taking some measures, and staff are working from home to the extent that they can. But members are not real thrilled about having to show up on Monday, 4 days. Now it'll be almost 4 days later after we, at least in the Senate, we did our duty as far as we are concerned.
So would the plan, Dave Bradley, would the plan be then to the budget would be passed, the governor presumably would sign it, and then would there be would be it for this session, or would you have to,
no.
Would the governor call, you'd come back, or what?
No, the plan now is to just do a extended recess.
Okay.
Because of the, you know, who knows, you know, we'd all love to say, gee, this is all going to be done by May and we'll go back to business as usual. I mean, I don't think that's what's going to happen, but you know, there's many unattended issues at the universities, our healthcare system, our providers, the firefighters, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we need to do into in a normal year that we would be now debating and trying to produce a more robust budget. You know, I was in favor of this notion of a bare bones, and because of the unknowns. But if the unknowns become known, and we can deal with these other issues that are compelling, I hope that we're able to do that before June 30th. This budget carries us through to July of June of next year of 2021. But all of us know that. It's lacking in many things.
So it's a temporary budget then?
Well, it's almost like thinking of, the annual budget that we have ends June 30th. This is like a at this point, kind of think of it as we created a fifth and sixth quarter of the year. You know,
okay.
To think of it that way.
Okay.
And then ideally we come back and then and augment this current budget as we can. But again, if our resources are going to be drained and we're going to eat up the rainy day fund in fighting this virus, that's what we're prepared to do. I mean, we're fortunate to have those resources in place.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave Bradley. Appreciate sure. Senator Bradley with us giving us an update on what's going on at the Capitol. Dan Scheer, please stick around. I'm going to bring in Dylan Smith here in a few moments. We'll get him on the live line as well. Senator Bradley, I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll continue now with the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to State Senator Dave Bradley, very important man up at the legislature. He is the Democratic minority leader in the Senate, and they could not get together the Senate and the House, so they went into a adjournment until early next week to try to put this, I guess you call it kind of a temporary budget a budget that will be probably revisited. It's time for the roundtable portion of the program. Dylan Smith is on the live line. Dylan is the editor and publisher of the online news service TucsonSentinel.com, celebrating its 10th anniversary. He's vice president of the Arizona Press Club. He's the immediate past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for local independent online news publishers. Dan Shear sticks around from our opening interview. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, editorial director for the WIC newspaper publications. So I want to welcome now Dylan to the show. And it's kind of weird, Dylan, having you on the telephone, because I don't think we've really ever done kind of a phone interview with you. You've always been a great guy to have with us in studio, but like many places here at the station, we're limiting, we're doing pretty much a lot, everything by phone for the shows for the next week or so. Dylan, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Sorry I can't be there. Give you a fist bump. But
we don't want one.
Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it. It's certainly been an interesting week in the news, let's just say.
You know, early in my life, guys, I studied Zen Buddhism. I don't think I've ever told this story on the radio, but these are different times. And one of the fundamentals of that, of those teaching were basically you live in very uncertain times. And that's very appropriate for now. And the thing I remember taking out of it is living in the moment. And boy, if there was ever a time when we should be, we actually are forced now, Dan and Dylan, to do that, aren't we?
Definitely. You know, I think we're going to be in for a lengthy period of some flux and some things that we are going to have to get used to doing. I was read this morning from a friend of mine, a colleague in Connecticut, about his brother dying this weekend, not from coronavirus, but from old age, natural causes. But just their experience of having to deal with all of the funeral arrangements in a very unfamiliar way. And it's a Jewish family, so they have some, traditions and teachings that they should be adhering to. And some of them, they weren't able to do it really in the way that they wanted to do. And it was a pretty moving piece of journalism, his commentary on his own personal experiences. And I think that's going to happen to a great many of us in a great many ways in the coming months.
And Dan Shear, the hospitals have limited people that are allowed to go visit. So it doesn't take much of an imagination to think about if you had a loved one who were basically in their final days, final moments, and not being able to go and say goodbye. This is really heart-wrenching stuff, Dan Shear.
We've had some pretty heart-wrenching stories down here, but we've also had some good ones. I've heard from several HOAs, and we have about 90 to 100 of them down here, and they have stepped up to look in on their neighbors. They're meeting in groups of, two or three or four, and just encouraging each other and trying to keep things as normal as possible. We, as a company, right now I'm working with the CEO on getting a message out to our readers in all of our markets in 11 states, because a newspaper is often looked to as a calming force in a community. And how can we do that right now? You have to be honest and accurate, and you can't sugarcoat anything. But on the other hand, we need to see some silver linings in this, some lessons that we're learning, an opportunity to support our community. We could be defined by this moment, a lot of us, and particularly in journalism. How are we going to serve our communities at this point? And as we all know, journalism is in a struggle, even if we didn't have a pandemic, just for our lives. And so we're we're fighting this on a couple of levels, but I tell you, we need to right now step up as one of those in the community who helps set the agenda and to be responsible and to be, again, that calming force. So we're working on that message for all of our papers.
Dylan, I have found helpful your kind of clearinghouse of information on Facebook. You want to tell our listeners about what you're doing at TucsonSentinel.com?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for that. In addition to, of course, you know, posting on TucsonSentinel.com and having a steady stream of, you know, almost exclusively coverage around coronavirus and its direct impact here on Tucson and Southern Arizona, we set up a special Facebook group for people to trade information, and it's called Tucson Coronavirus Updates. It's easy to track down. You can find links to it on our Facebook page. And it's a place for people to share, you know, solid, vetted information and talk about their experiences and be supportive of each other. And I think, as Dan was saying, that's really what's important right now. You know, we're getting past the point where every new single person in Arizona who is diagnosed with this is their own separate headline.
Right.
It's, you know, becoming a much more broad and long-term significant thing that's happening here, and we need to be, you know, as journalists, not just clamoring for that latest headline, but really finding out the information that is important to people, that's going to be informative and helpful, and be there for them. And that's really, I think, what so many reporters are trying to do right now all over the country, is serve their communities. And I know Dan and his work, his newsroom, they're trying to do that. We're trying to do it here at TucsonSentinel.com. And in what is right now very much more even a virtual newsroom, we're all trying to practice social distancing and working from home in the best way possible, so that we're not becoming vectors ourselves.
Dan, are a lot of people going online for your publications?
Absolutely. Our numbers have over doubled for this type of coverage, which we have a paywall, but all the coronavirus coverage is in front of the paywall. No one's paying for anything. We have a daily newsletter that has just spiked in interest. It was pretty strong before, but now even more so. And I'll tell you, Bill, that a lot of stuff is also going on behind the scenes, getting calls from people about rumors in the community and calming people down and telling them where to get resources. These are things that will never hit print or online, but taking our role seriously to do that. We had a couple of awful rumors in our community just over the last couple of days, and able to kind of deal with those and help people with the facts, which is really what we have always been, is everybody can speculate, and with social media we get way too much of that.
Right.
But they turn to the paper for the truth, for accurate answers on things, and this is no different. I will tell you, it has been humbling to see people turn to the media and say, okay, tell us what's really going on here.
Mm-hmm. Dylan, I brought this up, and I hope you heard a little bit about the interview with Senator Bradley. I brought up about benchmarks. How do we know, like the proclamation from Supervisors Chair Richard Alia says about the ban will be until March 31st. I think the city is the same way. How do we know when or whether or not this will be extended? What would you think they'll be looking at on the benchmarks?
You know, regardless of whatever benchmarks that we would, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist, I'll admit it, but whatever number we would say right now, or even that they would say right now, I'm very certain that a lot of those things will be extended beyond the end of March. That's just, you know, 10 days away.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to subside enough in 10 days for us to get back to normal. There are a lot of, data modeling reports that look at how these things might play out. Even if we all practice, you know, social distancing to the utmost, mm-hmm. go-to, you know, like California and New York have, with, you know, people basically sheltering in place at home and only leaving if they absolutely have to. This could last 4 months in one form or another. We may see things recede significantly, but it'll still be circulating. And if we all jump right back to normal, we will start transmitting it again to each other right away.
Yeah, it's really hard, certainly, to determine, again, getting back to that uncertainty about where we're going to be in 10 days or even a month from now. Quickly, I've only got about 2 minutes. Dylan, was there some news on evictions in Pima County today?
Well, we're still tracking this story. It's an ongoing story. Wednesday, all the constables in Pima County, the folks who actually show up and knock on your door and tell you that you've been ordered to leave your home, announced that they would not be serving those writs of eviction until they can get a handle on what's going on. They don't want to be kicking people who might potentially be sick out of their homes. They don't want to be vectors themselves. That ended up being supported by the courts in large part. The Justice Court is essentially shutting down for the next couple of weeks and won't be holding any hearings at all, except for cases that they absolutely have to. But there is one justice of the peace who does not want to go along with that and has said that despite that, he's going to have hearings on Wednesday mornings where he will order evictions.
Oh, boy.
So it's kind of up in the air what will happen. Some of the constables are saying they've basically been threatened with legal action if they don't serve eviction notices.
Wow.
And they're saying that they are still going to refuse to do it until they get the proper sort of guidance from health authorities and from the courts. So it's becoming a little controversy inside of this much broader crisis about how to handle people who aren't paying their rent, cannot pay their rent. There's no way they can. And, you know, should people be kicked out onto the streets if they are potentially ill? There are many of the justices of the peace who say there's no way they're going to do that right now, including for you down in Green Valley, J.P. Ray Carroll, Dan, has said, yes, you know, he's absolutely not doing any evictions for at least the next month.
Guys, we're just about out of time. Are the golf courses open in Green Valley, Dan?
Absolutely, they are open. We're actually going to have a story on this on Sunday. Obviously, the restaurants are closed, but the golf courses are open, and we were out there yesterday, and we'll be writing about this in a little bit. One of those silver linings here, not everything is affected.
No, and another silver lining, I was out doing a little gardening, things from Green Things, where they've got plenty of plants. The quietness, I noticed. You know, we live a little bit. We're about a half mile north of River Road, and we don't hear a lot of traffic during the week, but we hear it, and we don't hear it anymore. It's just, it's quiet. You hear the birds singing. And by the way, take a look at the Catalinas. You can really tell nobody is out on the streets, basically, driving. There's hardly any air pollution out there. So maybe those are silver linings, guys.
There we go. There we go.
Dylan Smith, thank you very much. TucsonSentinel.com and Green Valley News and Saharita Sun with Dan Scheer. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Okay, weekend watch. There is still a weekend. Thank goodness. And Matt Russell really got some great information about how folks are really adapting in the restaurant industry. It's next on Buckmaster.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com, We are watching Tucson.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
All right, I love to hear that music, Stir It Up. A little Bob Marley here, signaling the weekend, and after a very, very tough week, thank goodness we still have a weekend, and the weekend is Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson, where they are preparing, it's still on, the Memorial Day weekend, the Silver City Blues Festival. And southwestnewmexico.org is a great starting place for information about all the wonderful places to stay and all the recreation opportunities. Lots of people these days thinking, when this is all over, I'm going to get in the car and just go someplace. Well, how about head east to Silver City? Let's welcome now Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist. What a difficult week for just about everybody, especially our wonderful local restaurants and other businesses, Matt.
Yeah, it sure has, Bill. I have never seen anything like this, but this tragedy really has inspired some creativity among local restaurateurs. And as you said, I am delighted to report that the weekend is open for business.
It is. And the word is from restaurants, takeout, trying to help our friends.
Absolutely. And our friends over at Renee's Organic Oven on Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, they've got a program called Touch Free Takeout, which essentially limits the use of human hands in all transactions. All orders must be called in and paid over the phone, including gratuity, so there's nothing to sign or pen to hold. Now, even if you walk up to order, the door will be locked with a sign instructing people to call to order, and you'll be called back when the order is ready, which will be placed outside for you to pick up. Inside, everything is completely sanitized. So if you're looking for a super clean and organic lasagna or focaccia, a sandwich, touch-free takeout at Renee's is the solution.
What's Barrio Brewing doing to respond to the crisis?
Yes, you know, we've talked for years about the impact that Barrio Brewing has had in this community. And another example is tomorrow at 11 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., they're going to be giving away free meals to local first responders, medical professionals, and law enforcement officials, of course, while supplies last. Now, there's going to be several options to choose from, including several different kinds of tacos and salads and sandwiches. And there is no cost to you if you're one of these heroes with an ID. They're going to be lining up at Barrio tomorrow at 11 a.m. Thanks to our friends at Barrio.
I only have a few seconds. What about Diablo Burger?
Diablo Burger. You buy a burger to feed your face with, and they will donate another one to a local emergency room or organization feeding the hungry. If you didn't think that a burger could make a difference, you're going to make a huge difference with Diablo Burger by ordering a burger for yourself, and one goes to someone in need.
Stay safe and well. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the program. On behalf of my engineer, producer, and friend, John Couch, all of us at Bustos Media wish you a very happy, safe, and healthy weekend.